flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
What a nut. Man, like, what an absolute psycho. A year ago, I feel like we'd all really be piling on him.
Now we're
making
like, hell
fun
yeah,
of him.
Joe, get
now
him.
We're like, go get him, Joe!
Go kill him!
Go get him!
Rip his leg off! You know Joe wants to do some jiu-jitsu stuff to that guy.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He literally screamed, no, F you, come here, F you.
Yeah,
that was the quote.
And he was doing like one
he
of these.
Like, come
like,
get some.
Yeah, come get some. Yeah, like
and
waving him over.
Was just like,
yeah, I'm out.
That ref is such a loser, though.
Yeah.
I'm on Joe's side, but he was running real hot. He's not in the holiday spirit at all.
Well,
he wanted to fight the ref.
Did you hear him after the game?
He was wishing him a happy holiday.
Okay, can we hear that? Here's Missoula. Hear that, what was he saying to the refs after the game?
I just hadn't seen them in a while, so just a Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday. I wasn't sure I was going to see them before the holiday, and I just can't let a moment go by to where you wish someone, just the best, to them and theirs and their families.
Can I just tell, he's a lunatic. A year ago, I would have ripped that so hard. Now I'm such a, it makes me a giant fraud, I guess, but no. I'm like, I kind of like it now.
He won a title.
A year ago, I'd be like, what a joke, what a clown, this guy's trash, fire him. Now I'm like, good for you, Joe.
Way to go, Joe.
Yeah, go get him.
Jones' heart grew 5
times. I'd love to hold myself accountable on this, but I kind of like it now. I would have hated that a year ago.
But he was also going after a ref who are subhuman entities as it is. So, like, we're obviously on Joe's side. But, yeah, no, that fourth quarter just got away from him. Like, the Bulls were doing a good job hanging around. Like, they were always in the game. And then the fourth quarter, they just, like, fell apart. Like, their defense fell apart. Then they got all, like, pissy, and they had, like, multiple technical fouls. You're like, what is happening here? And then they just slipped it away.
Yeah. Well, Jalen was pretty critical of the refs after the game, weaponizing their whistle or whatever he said. And it's like, all right, guys, you don't lose a ton of games.
They should still be able to beat the Bulls, even if all the calls go against
them. This is where I will be consistent. Like, right, do you think you lost because of the refs last night?
Yeah.
Or you lost because of your trash-ass shot selection, and you lost because you took the Bulls lightly? They've already lost as many games at home this year as they did all of last year?
It's crazy.
Last year, they were 37-4 at the Garden. They're now 11-4.
I guess they weren't
at the Garden.
Jungle level.
No.
Sound meter.
I guess not. So, like, I'm not going to blame the refs for the loss, but Joe wants to go after the refs. Fine with me. A year ago, I ripped him. Now I'm like, good.
Do you blame Sam Cassell for getting in the way? Should you just let him go and see what happens?
He wasn't in the way for long.
No, it's true.
Joe elbowed him out of there real quick.
Yeah. Like, but, what would he have done?
Unleash him.
I would love to see, in all these times where people get held back, like, what would actually happen if you weren't held back?
Do you think Sam Cassell really held him back?
He was in his way.
I know, but I'm saying a lot of there's a lot of guys in the way.
But
in
if
the
you
NBA.
Just like clearly, I mean, if you clearly get out of the way, you like, all right, buddy, you got to decide. Keith, do you want to rip that guy's throat
Keith,
out?
Or Mazzulla put like a pinky on him and he went flying out of the way last night. So I don't think Cassell could hold Mazzulla back.
All right.
If Mazzulla did not want to be held back.
But, like, really steer clear. Stand back. Like, yeah. Put your hands up. Like, go get him, Joe.
Ole.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah.
Because if you're Cassell, you're like, if this guy fights a ref, he might get suspended for a while. Now, I'm the head coach. Now, I take over the
Good
Celtics.
Point. Good point.
That's what he should have done.
You don't think he's getting suspended, right?
No, oh, yeah, there he is. I don't.
I don't either. He's probably getting fined.
He didn't make contact with the ref. That's where you get suspended.
If he got suspended, that'd be ridiculous. You want to fine him? Go ahead. Whatever. You know, a couple of hams.
Couple hands. Probably
some PS5s.
Yeah, more like a PS5. It's the NBA. These guys make real money.
Yeah, like 100 PS5s.
He'll put that aside.
Yeah.
He probably has anyway.
I kind of, not to go back to the Red Sox for a moment, I kind of...
He is a loon, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I kind of want to react how Mazzulla did with the refs with that Red Sox signing. For Patrick Sandoval.
You want to go fight Craig Breslow?
I kind of.
Hey! Get over here!
Hey, you!
Hey! Merry Christmas.
So they spent $11 million on Chapman. They've spent another $9 million a year on this guy who's not even going to pitch.
They haven't spent any money. Because
he did have a good World Baseball Classic.
Basically, they spent as much money on Chris Sale to win the Cy Young for the Braves as they did on Chapman and Sandoval.
So if you're just tuning in.
They haven't spent money.
No. If you're just tuning in, they haven't spent any money.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, Crochet has not spent money until they hand him an extension.
They probably saved money when you take away some of the guys that are free agents.
It's a great point.
Sale contract.
It's a great point. They had $70 million in space before they got to the luxury tax, the CBT.
Yeah, they're not going to
They've spent on
that.
A one-year deal with Chapman and a glorified one-year deal on this guy. He's not going to pitch till late in the year.
They're interested in Sasaki, though.
Oh, I'm sure that's going to happen. I feel good about that. And so if you're just tuning in again, the Red Sox have signed another Sandoval because one wasn't enough.
They got a good track record with Sandoval.
Another P. Sandoval.
Yeah.
Pablo the first time did not go so well.
P. Sandoval.
P. Sandoval.
Yep.
Patrick Sandoval is now who they have. Oh, that's a good image.
On Twitch and YouTube, Brian has concocted a John Henry holding piles of cash.
Now, I got to be honest.
Not AI generated.
I'm guessing it's a look at his fingers.
But that's tough.
Would you rule out that that's real?
Yes.
Just him holding a bunch of money. Would you rule that out? I wouldn't rule that out.
If you were a billionaire, would you just have tons of cash lying around and like just
so he doesn't? John Henry doesn't have six fingers.
No, that guy.
Are
does.
There six?
Well,
because yeah, one of them is tucked
his
up.
Right hand.
Something doesn't
his
look
middle,
like
middle finger.
Yeah, something doesn't look right with that right hand. Yeah, that's true. Whatever. Would it's I rule out that John Henry has pictures of him holding buttloads of cash? I would not.
He's got ET fingers, but. What are you going to do?
Look at that thing.
Where's that one headed?
Yeah.
One, two, three, four, five. I would assume a thumb. That's six.
Look out, ladies.
How do you think you got these billions? But yeah, I would probably just have like tubs of money lying around.
Yeah.
You can't trust the banks.
No, definitely.
You got to have cash.
So if you want to fight the Red Sox, similar to Joe Mazzulla, you can. I'm with you, though, on the... last night is not about the refs. Like, as funny as that was, Mazzulla going after him.
They missed every shot they took. It was the season low, and not just from three. From the field, they were under 40%.
Mm-hmm.
And then from three, they were 25%. We knew going in it was going to be a three-point parade, and it was. You know, these are the two teams that shoot the most threes in the NBA, and they did. They both shot over 50 threes. Zach LaVine hit more of his shots. The Bulls just seemed to be like more aggressive. I know it's kind of cliche, but they just did seem to be like more engaged in the game. Like as simple as that, they got more open shots too. The Celtics defense, the Bulls would either hit a three or they would take it to the basket and the Celtics would like get out of the way and they'd like dunk or lay it in. It was pretty frustrating to watch in the fourth quarter.
So you mentioned the 3-point attempts, right? Because the Celtics shot miserably from three last night.
Yeah.
But the total attempts, the Celtics were 14 out of 56.
Yeah.
The Bulls were 19 for 52.
Yeah.
Okay.
108?
So add that up. That's 108 3-point attempts on 191 field goals. 57% of the field goal attempts
Let it fly.
In last night's game.
Yeah.
57% mm-hmm. were threes. And people want to tell me there's not a stylistic issue in the NBA.
No, these are the extremes, but other teams play like this.
Yeah.
Right?
Like it's becoming most, less and less extreme. It's. Yeah. I mean, these are the teams that shoot it the most in the NBA.
It was funny. Was it
50%, almost 60%, 57.
Yeah.
Of the attempts in the game were from beyond the arc. That's
chuck it.
Ridiculous.
Was it 2 years ago? I feel like every time I watched a game, whether it was a Celtics game or a out-of-market game, they would announce on the broadcast, New team record for threes made. Yep. New team record for threes attempted. Like, every single game, it felt like teams were taking more and more and more, and they're, like, really putting it to the limit.
I mean, I would wager
at some point.
I don't know if you can wager on this. I would wager on the Celtics setting the three-point record this year, meaning in a game. They already tied it once this year. They almost set it on opening night. They've already been knocking on the door for it for a couple of different times. I'd wager on them setting the three-point record this year. Most threes made in a game. I bet they're going to do it. They shoot more than any team in history. They're going to do it. I heard on the broadcast last night, they're the fastest team to hit 500 as a team in the season. So I'd wager on that. You're going to have broken records left and right. You already do see it night in and night out in the NBA.
I think I've talked about this on different shows before, but were you familiar with the Division III school? I think it's called Redlands.
Oh, well, I know.
They're way ahead of the curve.
All they do is shoot threes?
Only threes.
They'd, like, grab offensive rebounds under the hoop and, like, pass it back out?
They won't shoot twos. I know. They've been doing it for years.
Is it in Iowa?
Maybe. It's, like, in the middle of the country somewhere. Okay. Maybe Texas, maybe Iowa, somewhere in there. But they would only shoot threes. They were doing this for years and years and years. They would do, like, they would full court press, and they would do, like line changes.
Yeah, they'd have like
so everybody
15
was
guys
fresh.
On the team and they just run
all, and all
changes.
They did was shoot threes and like that was their style of play.
Is it Grinnell College?
Oh, maybe it's Grinnell. Maybe I don't know why I thought it was Redland. Yeah,
Grinnell?
I think it is Grinnell.
Grinnell College attempted 111 threes in a single game against Emmaus Bible College.
Grinnell. Yeah, okay, it's Grinnell.
They made 40 threes on 111 attempts in a game.
I remember even all back when we were in high school talking to a friend of mine being like, it'd be kind of fun to go there, wouldn't it? Just like all you do, you don't even play defense, just shoot threes and run up and down, shoot threes. I'm like, well, that'd be a good place to go.
Yeah, and then go sit for a line
take a
change
break
and then come
like,
back out.
Get my like little
these,
Gatorade.
Like these lazy hockey players who only play a quarter of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Even play the whole game.
Yeah. So you go back. Marshall team a couple years ago with D'Antoni's kid took like 80 threes in the tournament.
Yeah, so like D'Antoni is another good example. They weren't all threes. I'm talking about Mike D'Antoni, but they were like they were up in the pace and like they were a team that sort of like pushed
eight,
the envelope.
The 8 second or less, like, Phoenix Suns. Yeah.
At some point, isn't this the direction it's going in? Like they already did it. This Grinnell school has been doing it for years. But, like, Joe Mazzulla must look at that and be like, yeah, they're not far off. Like, that might be a good way to play.
Right, Mazzulla.
I think
like,
he's kind of liking
he's
it.
He's, like, up late, but he's not watching the town. He's he's up late watching, like, Grinnell College highlights.
He's like, so he's like, they throw an alley-oop, and they're like, no! Throw it back out. like, do not
That's
want
one
it.
Of their design plays.
If it's not a three,
they run an alley-oop and
it.
A kick-out, and they're like, yeah, we got you. We sucked 100. In the defense for the alley-oop. Wide open three.
100%.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was reading our guy B-Rob last night at Mass Live. Brian Robb says that Boston misfired on 13 of their first 16 three-point attempts in the first quarter. They shot just 25% from downtown in the first half, tying a new season low with six makes over the first 24 minutes. That's a season low. Six threes in the first half, a season low,
right,
which should tell you something. The Bulls, by the way, coming into last night in like five games, hadn't allowed a team to hit double-digit threes. The Celtics hit 6.5. That's their season low.
God.
Celtics overcame these shooting woes by attacking the rim and the lackluster Bulls defense more as the half wore on. They shot 60% from two in the first half while piling up a 28-18 edge and points in the paint. So basically, they weren't shooting well from three. They started shooting more twos. They got back in the game. They led at halftime. I think it was 57-54. The interior scoring enabled them to build a slim halftime lead despite the rough perimeter shooting. However, Boston's subpar shooting continued in the second half while the Bulls heated up, leading to a stunning loss. So this is my issue with it. You don't have it from three that night. And Joe Mazzulla And perhaps Brad Stevens and the whole Celtics organization agree with this. They all feel the same way. When we don't have it, the answer is keep shooting. Because
shoot out of it.
Yeah, shoot your way out of it. Shoot. The law of averages will level out, and we're going to start to make them. Instead of, hey, we got back into the game and took the lead because we had an advantage in the paint. And we started shooting closer to the rim and taking the ball to the rim. I think that's why they lost last night. Shot selection. And the Bulls are another team that, in some ways, they're not as talented. But stylistically on offense, they play a similar style of basketball. Everything is from beyond the arc.
Yeah, it's what they're going to do. And especially a team that they're way more talented than in the Bulls. It's like, you don't even need to beat them that way. Like, you could beat them in other ways, but they're just so dug in. I guess you can credit them for being consistent. Because there was even a time in the fourth quarter where they were down six, and then when Brown hit the corner three, they were playing poorly. They were shooting a low percentage, but it pulled them to within three.
And yeah, I was right like, back in the game before all the technicals hit. Yeah,
I was like, they're gonna win.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought the same
they're
thing.
They're gonna win.
100% thought the same thing.
What an ugly win, you won the game. But no, like the Bulls like had another punch. And then, you know, Mazzulla lost his mind and there were technicals everywhere and giving them free points and things like that. But, yeah, this goes back to the old, in a seven-game series, though, how many teams in the NBA are equipped to outshoot the Celtics in four of those games?
Not the Bulls.
Could the
Bulls do it for a game?
Well, that's the beauty of it. Like, if this was a college basketball team, like, sure. You know, anything can happen. A one-off like this, like, Celtics, in all good teams, when you look back at their schedule, they always have weird losses to really bad teams, just the nature of the sport. But four times in a seven-game series still seems unlikely.
Look, I think last night timed out well. It's exactly what we were talking about for two straight days going into the game, shot selection and how ridiculous the league is, and you get 108 three-point attempts on what was it again? I did the math. It's always dangerous when I do math. 108 three-point attempts on 191 field goals. 57% of the shot attempts last night were threes.
Whew.
Last night was exactly what we were talking about. Right down to the Celtics not understanding they needed to adjust in game.
Celtics play the Bulls tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you bet the house on the Celtics?
Yeah.
They're gonna. I don't
what
even
were
know.
They last night? 14-point favorites or something like that?
Probably.
They'll probably be bigger favorites tomorrow. Well, maybe not. The game's in Chicago.
The game's in Chicago, and they are
10.
Yeah, it's not listed here.
9-10.
But yeah, I would bet the house on them because like the Bulls probably won't shoot as well. The Celtics are going to probably shoot lights out.
Here's what you do: you bet the house on them.
House.
Then you take those winnings. You roll it over on the Bozo touchdown.
Put it all on the Bozo?
Two house bets.
Wow.
I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Wow.
Marcus in Medford waiting patiently. Hello, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
My question is on the NFL here. Are they trying to piss the viewers off on purpose, or are they just that friggin' greedy pigs?
How so? You're complaining about streaming games?
It's the second thing.
What? Wild card Saturday? You're depriving people of watching a playoff games now? Are you kidding me?
They don't care.
They've been doing this for a couple of years now. What are you talking about? Wild card Saturday? Yeah, they've been doing
that. Is he talking about?
I think he's talking about streaming
a play. The college football games?
And just watch the college game if you want to watch a college game.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about streaming a playoff game. It said there he was complaining about streaming.
Well, this week.
Like the Peacock game last year with the Bills.
I was going to say, that's not even new. They did that last year.
They did. And like they're just getting money from every streaming service possible. I mean, think about this. if you're like, what? Why are they doing this? It's money. It's always money. So they don't care. They're going up against the college football playoff. They're getting money from every streaming service. Not only do they not care about playing games and just overtaking Christmas Day from the NBA, which is that's their day, like Thanksgiving football, Christmas Thanksgiving or Christmas NBA.
Oops, yeah.
They don't care to the point where they're putting games on Wednesday. It's one thing when Christmas was on a Sunday. What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you
going
to
do? Saturday?
Tough luck, NBA.
Hey, sorry, late in the year, we do games on Saturday, Monday, whatever. Wednesday? Wednesday? That's like there's 2 days of the week they don't play football on.
Right.
And they're like, we'll do it.
Yeah, we're doing
it. It's like, we're going to do a Wednesday game? Like, yeah. We're going to actually do two. We're going to put it on Netflix.
We're going to have a game in Brazil on a Friday to start the season. We're going to have Christmas Day, Wednesday football.
They're doing like two Monday night football games.
We're moving in on the college football playoff on Saturday.
Just like the Celtics are getting closer to Grinnell College, the NFL will have games every day of the week pretty soon. Every day of the week.
Again, would you rather have all games on one day or games every day?
One day.
Every day.
One day.
If I get one or the other, I want every day.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You say that now, you'd regret that.
You say that now. There'd be no Thursday. You wouldn't have had a game last night. You would have had to wait until Sunday for last night's
game. Night.
I liked last night's game.
Well, I mean, two great
Bo Nicks. Free kick field goal?
And you got a free kick field goal, which was sick.
You know, Bill,
Bill's so pissed that happened last night. You know Bill is like, I wanted to do that.
I'm also like, why don't you see that more?
Because it has to happen in a very specific situation where you're basically out of time. If it's an untimed down.
But I would just think that would happen. Teams aren't going to punt. They usually just kind of throw it away.
Well, if it's first down and you're at the 40, you're not just going to kick in most situations. You're going to be like, no, we're going to go for it.
6 seconds or something, like rather than a Hail Mary. Yeah, would you rather kick like a 60 or even like 70 yarder on a free kick?
Okay, so if you missed it from 57 yards, would
too much field position. There you go. So the last time it was attempted, do you know who attempted it? It was in 2019.
Oh no,
the last one to attempt it, I believe, was Joey Sly for the Carolina Panthers.
There's a Joey Sly key coming up in Keith's keys.
I can't wait. I have a feeling I know what it is.
You might not.
I have a feeling I have a good idea. By the way, as we discovered after the show yesterday, Bob Tewksbury. Just the ultimate jock.
No.
Yeah, no.
He appeared as himself in the scout.
We didn't discover that. But no, I believe Joey Sly was the last one to attempt it in 2019. Harbaugh attempted it when he was with the Niners back in like 2013.
Nice. Was that Robbie Gold?
I think it was Phil Dawson.
Oh, Phil.
It was like a 70-yarder. The last time it was made in a game was the 70s.
76.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So it comes up. It has to be.
So for those that don't know what we're talking about, the scenario is after a fair catch on a punt, you can kick it from there as a free kick, and so meaning there's no defense. Like, the kicker has just, like, a free blast for a field goal. So last night at the end of the half, it ended up being a 57-yarder for Cameron the kicker Dicker.
That's probably your answer to if there's 6 seconds, that's why. Because there's no time left in the half, so you can't defend it. If there's 6 seconds left, you could probably defend it, right?
Well, no, but like, see how they're lined up. So they're showing it right now on Twitch.
Yeah.
So you are lined up, and they're like, you know, they have a return guy there. So it's like, if he misses it, we can try to run it back.
Marvin Mims would run it back.
But like,
too.
You can't attempt to block it or anything. So it's a huge advantage to the kicker. You don't have to worry about a snap if the ball's already there waiting for you.
No, it's true.
Beautiful,
Joey Sly. Maybe,
nice.
Maybe the Patriots can do that. But you know, Bill is so pissed he wasn't the one to do it. Like, Bill's probably been tossing and turning, thinking of doing that in a game.
If they punt right now, we could free kick.
For 20 years.
Yeah. Mayo's like, wait, you can do that?
Yeah. Oh, no chance Gerard Mayo knew about it. We should ask Covington about it.
Yeah, free kick.
What was up with that? What was up with that free kick last night?
What'd you think of the free kick?
He's like, huh?
They did what now?
They did, huh?
Guarantee you Dietrich Wise didn't see it. We had to tell him about everything last week.
There's no
no way. That's fine. Some guys like to unplug. No, they don't follow the sports.
Good point. 617-779-7937. It is a Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keith. We're going to get to the year in review coming up at 11:45. And we also have a four-pack of questions for the Patriots and the Bills right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Celtics fell to the Bulls 117-108 last night at the TD Garden. Zach LaVine scored a game-high 36 points for Chicago. Jason Tatum finished the night with a double-double, scoring 31 points and 10 rebounds. Tomorrow night is the second game of the home-and-home series. Season Bulls tips off from Chicago at 8 o'clock. The Bruins drop the final game of their West Coast road trip 3-2 in overtime to the Oilers in Edmonton. The Bees blew a 2-0 lead, and Matthias Ekholm scored the winner for the Oilers a minute 4 into OT. The Bruins return home tomorrow night to host the Sabres. Puck drop at the Garden is at 7 o'clock. On Thursday night football, the Chargers defeated the Broncos 34-27. Patriots defensive tackle Christian Barmore is returning to the non-football illness list after experiencing some reoccurring symptoms from blood clots that caused him to miss the first 10 games of the season. Pats are back on the practice field today as preparations wind down for Sunday's game against the Bills in Buffalo. Kickoff from Highmark Stadium is at 4:25. And according to Jeff Passan, left-handed pitcher Patrick Sandoval and the Boston Red Sox are in agreement on a 2-year, $18.25 million contract, sources tell ESPN. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.